Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Howdy. I am Lieutenant Colonel Retired Alan West, President and CEO of the National Center for Policy Analysis and former member of the United States Congress. And you are listening to Audrey Russo, my dear friend, on Real Talk Radio. Listen up, or else I'll drop you for push-ups. Thank you.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. The Dems displayed themselves as a group of inmates from a mental institution during the Kavanaugh hearing. But with their determination to unseat a duly elected president, was this clownish display a wag the dog from the Russia collusion hoax? And Turkey has never truly behaved as a NATO ally. Should they continue to be a member? Well, we're going to discuss this and more with my next guest. Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney, United States Air Force retired, was the former Assistant Vice Chief of the USAF and Director of the Defense Performance Review, reporting directly to SecDef and the Vice President when he retired after 35 years active duty in 1994. His many positions in his 35-year military career include 4 tours in Vietnam, Commander of Alaskan Air Command, Alaska NORAD Region, and Alaskan Command. He's a frequent military analyst on TV and national radio, including the Fox News Channel, and he's a member of the Citizens Commission on National Security. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome to General Thomas McInerney. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you very much, Audrey. Delighted to be with you today.
Oh, it's great to have you with us. And, well, we're going to jump right into our discussion. Now that the three-ring freak show by the Dems in the Senate is over concerning Kavanaugh, do you believe the left will again take up the Russia collusion case?
They will not, probably, except to try to defend themselves. Recent events, which we have always known, are now becoming very evident to the American public. And what do I mean by that? 3 weeks ago, the president said he was going to release, unredacted, the FISA warrants that allowed the intelligence community, which I will abbreviate and call the IC, to look into the Trump campaign during the campaign. Without a doubt, the Trump campaign was spied on. And the fact is that the FISA warrants will absolutely expose this. Now, the president was informed by his intelligence community people that the foreign governments, and they're really talking about the Brits, would object to this. But that's just a ruse by the intelligence community, primarily the Department of Justice and the FBI, because they do not want to be embarrassed for what they have done. It's going to come out. But in the meantime, in these 3 weeks, the FBI chief lawyer and James Baker testified in front of the Nunes Committee and the intelligence community in the House. Now, what he said was that he was in communication when he was the head lawyer in the FBI. He said, and called the general counsel, that he was contacted by Michael Sussman from Perkins Coie and given versions of the Russian dossier. Now, the fact is that this happening this way, Perkins Coie, who was funded, as we all know, by the Clinton campaign and who was responsible, and it turns out there were never any Republicans involved with that original dossier that was originally put out. So this is purely a Democratic National Committee, Clinton campaign effort to shape the FBI and get the intelligence community on the Trump campaign. This is absolutely unacceptable. Now, it's coming out. This has been illuminated. And the fact is that it's been illuminated because President took Rod Rosenstein, down to Orlando with him yesterday, and they had a discussion. White House said it was a 30-minute discussion. And the fact is that the president did not fire him then, but Rosenstein had to be intimately involved with this. There's no question about it. And as we trace the events, Audrey, it becomes very apparent. And by the way, the reason he was with the president yesterday was to discuss his wearing a wire into the White House to get the president to make some statements that they could then try to impeach him.
Right.
So his own, remember, President Trump, for our listeners, President Trump appointed Rod Rosenstein to be the deputy at the recommendation of Senator Jeff Sessions. A day after him making that statement about wearing a wire, he appointed Robert Mueller to be a special prosecutor to look into the collusion, the Russian collusion, that was all shaped and created, we now know, by the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Hmm.
So this has never happened in American history before, the politicization of the intelligence community. Now, the reason this is so important is because it had to have the involvement of Jim Clapper, who was the Director of National Intelligence, John Brennan, who was a CIA director, Comey, who was the FBI director, the Loretta Lynch, who was the Attorney General. All these people, Susan Rice, all these people were direct reports to the President of the United States, Barack Obama. And what I'm just saying now for our listeners, the White House, the Oval Office, Barack Obama had to be involved with this faux coup that they were trying to put on the Trump administration. Started before Trump won, and once he won the election, they knew that they were going to be exposed, so they did these things. Now, what I'm also saying is Rod Rosenstein, who was appointed by President Trump, had to be involved with this. There's no way he could not have been involved.
Right.
And that's a very, very powerful statement.
Right. The FISA warrants would show that, wouldn't they? And what happened to those? Because the president ordered them to be released unredacted, but that's the last we heard about that.
That's correct. Now, the FISA warrants were and we don't know what's happening with them right now because they make it clear cut. But Jim Baker's comments to the Nunez committee have verified that. So that's extremely important. We do need the FISA warrants, and the president must. If the president doesn't, he's going to lose the midterms. That's just my opinion, and at least in the House, although it's changing very, very quickly because of the Kavanaugh vote and him being appointed as an associate justice. So that's extremely important.
Right. So now we know that the dossier really has been thoroughly debunked. So how much longer is Mueller going to be able to hold on to this so-called investigation?
Well, that's going to be a good question, because he should not, he ought to stop it right now. If he doesn't, he's going to expose himself. He's going to expose himself, what he's done to Mike Flynn, what he's done to all the other people that had nothing to do with the Russian collusion. And so it then becomes apparent that Mueller himself was involved with this soft coup. Now we have Comey, we have Mueller, we have the other individuals I mentioned earlier, all involved with a soft coup, with the politicization of the intelligence community. Audrey, right. This is huge. Yeah. What I'm saying is what a lot of people will not say,
right?
Because it's the facts. These people must be brought before a grand jury, and I believe it'll reach into the Oval Office. Now, that is going to be quite a stir. Will this president want to do that? How far will this president go? But if he doesn't do it, then it's going to be repeated. And it could be that Republicans will then politicize the intelligence community. So that's why I think it's extremely important that those FISA warrants be released. And the last one, the fourth one, was released by Rod Rosenstein, which tells me he was involved with it. And by the way, when he appointed Mueller, there was no crime involved. Everybody must understand, there was no crime involved. And according to the statutes, you must have a crime involved before you appoint a special prosecutor. So Rosenstein is hit in several different places. Now, the question is, why did he not tell this to the president? Is the president stringing him along to get through the midterms so he can then expose all of this? But I believe this must be exposed before the midterms and show clearly why the Democratic Party should not be allowed to take over the House or the Senate, because they are also involved. These senators and congressmen are complicit in this soft coup.
Wow.
They are pushing it. And that's, I mean, this is phenomenal. As you said in your opening comments, the way the Dems acted like a mental institution and the Kavanaugh nomination.
Yeah.
And I believe the two are related. They're using the Kavanaugh appointment and nomination and the fight they put up, because it took off the Russian dossier, the deep state's involvement in the Hillary Clinton campaign. And we haven't heard anything about it for 2 or 3 weeks, have we?
No, we haven't.
And they are trying to get it off the front pages. It is unbelievable. You couldn't write a novel about this.
Yeah, nobody would believe it.
Correct.
Right? And that's what struck me, as it being maybe a wag the dog on their part. You know, because they were trying,
yes,
to distract us from this.
Exactly. It was distraction.
Yeah.
And, I mean, because it was so vile, we've never seen anything like this. It had to be a distraction.
Yeah. It was extreme. So all of that, if you step back saying, let me see, what was about to come out? The unredacted FISA warrants, and now we have this freak show in the Senate, which was supposed to be the most august body, not anymore after that display. So more than most likely, he would not fire Rosenstein before the midterms. Do you believe that perhaps sometime after that he will, or do you think, as he probably should, bring him before a grand jury?
I think he should. Yeah. The fact is he has no choice. Rosenstein has to have been involved in this. There's just no question about it.
Yeah.
He's got to do it. And I believe that when you reach in, now Rosenstein may be doing what he's doing to protect, as he'll say, the Department of Justice and the FBI for embarrassing things that they were involved, but that's still complicity. And so that means he is involved with the Democratic Party on this.
Sure. It's probably very clear that he, he did at least sign, perhaps two FISA warrants on this. So he had to know the dossier was garbage, right?
Correct. He signed one.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I believe the president's going to do the right thing here. And I believe that with the Kavanaugh circus, the Dems really have damaged themselves greatly for the midterms, which is great for us. So I have no problem. They're continuing their charade here. And they have the protesters are still out there, some of them banging on the doors of, this has been such a clown show. Banging on the doors of the Supreme Court, this is pretty embarrassing.
And you probably saw that the lady that got the senator who extended the one week that she's paid $156,000, and gets $23,000 from George Soros's group, et cetera, et cetera. The leaders of these demonstrations are all being paid, and so this is a paid effort. This is not amateurs. Those people banging on the doors of the Supreme Court are all paid accomplices and have to be involved. Now, they're not aware of the details that we're talking about, that the complexity of it, the intelligence community, et cetera, but the people paying them are.
Oh, sure.
So we have senators, we have House members that are complicit in this cover-up and complicit in this soft coup attempt against the Trump administration. And that's why they went after Mike Flynn so quickly. You see, Mike Flynn, who I know very well, Mike Flynn, through the mistake, in my opinion, by the vice president, Mike Flynn knew the intelligence community since he was the director of the DIA, and they had to get rid of him early, and they did get rid of him early, didn't they? When Sally Yates went to the White House General Counsel again, I think, and said that he said certain things, Flynn did not have the experience when the president, the vice president, and the chief of staff came to him and asked for his resignation, because all he should have said is, Mr. President, listen to the tapes between Ambassador Siliak and myself. Just listen to the tapes. He was overwhelmed. And so that's why he confessed to something just to prevent his son from going to jail and putting him in the poorhouse. So it's going to come out that Mike Flynn was one of the heroes and was a sacrificial lamb. But that was part of the attempt by the Obama administration now.
Mm-hmm.
These were Obama administration people that did this to have a soft coup and impeachment against President Trump.
Right. Well, we're going to just continue to keep our eye on this. What I'd like to do is touch on Turkey for a moment. Do you agree that Erdogan is attempting to turn Turkey into an Islamist state?
Yes. He has done that. I used to go when I was Vice Commander-in-Chief of U.S. Air Forces in Europe in the late 80s. I used to go down to Turkey and Greece every 6 months. I would see members of the Turkish General Staff. I never saw their chief of the Turkish General Staff, but I'd always see the Air Chief. And there was no question that Ataturk Colonel Ataturk, who was the president of Turkey and who got rid of the Ottoman Empire and who separated the mosque from the state, was that they wanted to be a modern society.
Right.
Erdogan, when he took over, the things that he has done, the freedom of speech, the efforts that he is moving in supporting ISIS and other radical Islamic groups, because Erdogan wants to reestablish the Ottoman Empire. And so, is he a radical Islamist? Well, let me just say that he supports ISIS, he supports Al-Qaeda, and other radical Islamist groups. Now, the real question that the West must look at is, should we keep Turkey in NATO?
I was just going to ask that.
NATO was the power. Yeah, I got ahead of you, didn't I?
That's okay. Go right ahead.
Because that's the key question. And I'm going to be a little ambivalent, but in my days over there, Turkey was the strength of the southern flank against and containing the Russians. Now, what is the issue? Can we live through the Erdogan phase and keep Turkey involved, or are we going to have to ask them to leave NATO? That jury is still out. I'll be very frank with you, Audrey. That jury is still out. I do not want to lose Turkey, but they got rid of all the generals because the constitution that Ataturk, President Ataturk, put in was the generals were to always keep the nation of Turkey as a secular state,
right,
not a Muslim Islamist state. And the generals did that. And when I would visit there with my wife and see the people, no one ever wore chadors or any of that. It was a very Western-oriented society.
Right.
It was a very powerful military. And so the fact is, I'm still ambivalent. I'm not going to give you the answer that you'd like, yes or no.
Right.
But I think that we're coming into the position that we're going to have to ask them because it's very evident, clearly to me, that Erdogan is an Islamist, does want to resurrect the old Ottoman Empire, and has taken that country from a secular state to an Islamist state.
Right.
And we have to address that. We have a president that will.
Yes.
We have a president that understands radical Islam and the danger that it presents itself to the West.
Right, yeah. Thank God for that. Listeners, you know, the reason I had brought that up about them being a member state of NATO and if they should continue is because they have clearly aided and abetted ISIS, and they are holding American citizens prisoner, in particular that Pastor Brunson. Do you think we can pressure them into behaving?
Well, I think we can.
Okay.
But you know, it requires a very firm, a very knowledgeable president to understand radical Islam versus violent extremism, which the Obama never wanted to acknowledge radical Islam as being the problem. He liked to call it violent extremism.
Right.
And I'd always ask the generals and the admirals, well, tell me what the ideology of a violent extremist is. And they'd hesitate. What was that? The fact is I know the ideology of radical Islam.
Yes.
It's Islam that has been radicalized. There's no question about it. And so once you understand that, it fits very nicely into how you defeat that ideology. Remember that ideology, as Sun Tzu said, know thy enemy. If we don't know the ideology, how can you defeat the enemy?
Yes.
We knew the ideology of communism, Nazism. And radical Islam is as evil as Nazism and communism. And so if your leadership doesn't understand that, we now have a president who does.
Yes.
And we have a national security advisor. And by the way, this president has the strongest national security team that I have seen. First of all, they don't know what this president's going to do. Next, you've got John Bolton, who's absolutely brilliant. You've got Mad Dog Mattis, who's not as mad dog as some would like. But the fact is, you've got Pompeo. It is a superb national security team. Pompeo being in North Korea Sunday, and all these things that this president has achieved, where no other president has done that. And I've watched the national security teams for a long time, Audrey, and I can assure you, he has got a dynamite team. So it's going to be very interesting to understand why Nikki Haley has decided to resign.
I'm wondering why she would do that. That's strange. She's been doing a good job.
Now, she may have political ambitions or something, or may differ or something. We don't know yet. And the fact is, it's a shock to all of us. Yeah. I didn't mean to throw it in there, but that's the way this news cycle moves.
It moves
fast.
Sure. No, not at all. Well, I do know that I do remember, I watch these individuals as they go along politically, that she was an anti-Trumper until the president considered her for this position. So her, I'm a little iffy on. She was really only doing the bidding of the president, so there are other individuals that might do it just as well, if not much better. So we'll see what happens with her. But I agree with you. I've never seen a team like that. I love John Bolton and Mike Pompeo. He's a formidable force to be dealt with because he's been having some issues or confrontations with China, which is pretty exciting to watch what's going on.
Finally, someone's taking on China for what it is. We have a president that is, they have been milking us dry, and we've had Republican and Democratic presidents that have just gone along with it. Finally, we have leadership that understands.
Yeah.
That's why we've got the economy we've got. That's why things are going in the direction they are. Not without challenges, but he is calling a spade a spade.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, that's probably because he's not a politician. He's got nothing to gain. Only for the United States is he working to gain something, but not for himself personally. So I think that that's, to me, that's, I don't know, he set a precedent for anyone who truly wants a non-politician in there to actually get something done. I've never seen a president get so much done in such a short period of time. Have you?
It's historic.
It's historic.
No president has done as much as Donald Trump has done in the almost 2 years that he's been in office. It's historic.
Yeah, it's historic.
And I was an early joiner on, and I'm a very, very strong proponent of what he's doing. And because he's winning, he understands the economy, he understands the things that need to be done to make America great again. It's that simple.
Yeah, and he's not concerned about polls either. He just does what he promised to do. Isn't that true?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he delivers.
He does.
He delivers.
Every time I talk about this man, I have a big smile on my face. I can't help it.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Well, no question about it.
Tom, a very important question. Where can the listeners follow and support your excellent work and the work of CCNS?
Well, they can follow it on CCNS online. I do not do social media, and I keep away from that for many reasons, mm-hmm. as you can understand.
Yes.
But so they can follow me when I'm on your show, Audrey. And other shows like that,
okay.
along with CCNS.
Sure. And, of course, as always, I'll have that link in particular for Citizens Commission on National Security. I will have a link for that in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com. Click on the honor button, and right under the show description, you'll find the links and information that the general has just shared. Thanks so much, Tom, for sharing your brilliant assessments with us. Will you join us again on the show? Yes?
I certainly will. Absolutely.
Awesome.
You do a great show, Audrey.
Thank you.
I go right for the for the juggler.
that's usually how I work. So, like the present, I like it told like it is. You know. So until your next visit, which we look forward to, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.